Perhaps you have heard the saying that the only real sadness, the only real failure, the greatest tragedy in life is to not become a saint. And that's attributed to French novelist Léon Bloy. Whenever I'm talking about the individual saints, especially to children, it always occurs to me that to make sure that we don't build up each saint so much that it makes their holiness seem unattainable, unreachable by the rest of us. But our very Catholic point in raising up each saint, celebrating their feast days, reading about their lives, is exactly to make them models of how, by the grace of God, every person not only can follow Jesus Christ in a saintly life, but that Jesus commands us to do so. This must become in every one of us the only thing that we truly desire and long for and seek above every other thing that we can imagine. This must become the greatest goal in this pilgrimage of our lives. Having said that, I have to tell you that I have no idea how to make St. Thomas Aquinas into a saint that we can aspire to. In every way, he seems to manifest an unmatchable grace-filled life. He was recognized during his lifetime as a living saint. And about St. Thomas, Pope St. John XXIII said, amongst many popes who commented on him, who said, "A man can derive more profit in a year from his books, St. Thomas's books, than from pondering one's whole life the teaching of others." Pope Pius XI added, "We now say to all who are desirous of the truth, go to St. Thomas." The 13th century was part of what the world calls the Dark Ages. What a joke. All we have to do is hold up St. Francis of Assisi and St. Thomas Aquinas, both from that time, to see that God was shining a light so bright that we would only ignore it 800 years later at our peril. They carried the torch passed to them by our Lord himself. St. Thomas not only devoured the teaching of his human mentors, but he also digested, altered, corrected, and improved them at times. It was his lifelong zeal as a student, along with the grace of God, that rewarded Thomas with the knowledge and wisdom that equipped him so well to teach others. And he did this never to raise up his own status. He had unique powers of intellect and will, and explains that anyone that can fathom and explain even the loftiest truths. His desire for a holy life of contemplation was evident from a young age. So his humility and his holiness are the only things that exceed his intellect. St. Thomas is known as the angelic doctor for his purity of mind and body and his remarkable intelligence. There are so many stories which illustrate his most important characteristic, which we are called to, which is his prayer life. So much great theology and philosophy had the foundation of hours every day spent with the Blessed Sacrament. Without going on more than there is time for, St. Thomas is on the short list of the greatest heroes of our faith. He's definitely at the top in the Hall of Fame. In today's passage from the letter to the Hebrews, we hear about the Old Testament Hall of Fame in faith. Abraham is the original model of faith in God. And we have the most famous definition of faith in Scripture in today's passage. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. So faith bypasses our senses in this definition. We can't see with our senses what God has in store for us, but we can know it and live it in this life through Christ, who is our all in all. And we can look forward to it as pilgrims do, who know that this place is not our true home. And getting back to just placing St. Thomas Aquinas in here for just a moment, I think it's worth every year remembering the story. Near the end of his life, about 2 years from the end of his life, he died at 48. He had a vision of heaven, and this vision was so profound. It's hard to imagine St. Thomas having a vision of heaven which was greater than the ecstasies which he was known to experience in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Nevertheless, he had this vision of heaven, after which he stopped writing, and people were waiting for every word that he wrote, and they said, "St. Thomas," they didn't call him St. Thomas then, but they probably could have, "Thomas, why have you stopped writing?" And he said, "Because compared to what I have seen, what I have written is just straw." So even with that great intellect, He saw a vision of heaven, which we are invited to experience, which makes everything that we do in this life pale in comparison. The Christians listening to this letter to the Hebrews, going back to the letter to the Hebrews, they were getting worn down. This epistle was to stir them up. And again, in our time, we Christians are swimming against the tide of our culture and may have that same weariness. But we are called to persevere. Do not throw away our confidence that we have in God's reward. We must ask for patient endurance so that we will do the will of God. We must plug into God every day. We must let the heroes of our faith inspire us. Abraham himself knew that the promise of God was to be fulfilled through Isaac. That's what God had said to him. Therefore, his faith was even then in the power of God to raise someone from the dead when he was asked to sacrifice him, his son. Sarah, at her age, received the power to believe because she considered God faithful who had promised. And she looks forward and points forward towards Mary herself, who believed that God too could do that exact same thing, even though she could not imagine how. Now we come to the gospel, the good news, the heart of the good news. It looked to the disciples in the boat, as it frequently looks to you and me, like Jesus is asleep in our boat. Okay, I'll say that for me anyway. But then Jesus shows his divine authority over nature itself. All of God's children embark with Christ in a life that is full of dangerous storms, especially attacks from evil spirits and temptations of the flesh. We must learn to trust in Christ daily, since he alone can restrain these forces and bring us to the safe harbor of our salvation. So our Lord scolds his disciples. Have you still no faith? They had seen demonstrations of his divine power that proved beyond a doubt that Jesus Christ was of God. Nevertheless, they did not realize that they should fear nothing because the Lord was with them. Jesus makes it clear that if you have faith in him, you will also have courage. If we, who are his modern-day disciples, say we have faith, but then give way to fear, it is fitting that we should share the scolding that Jesus gave to his fearful disciples after he stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And yet, we see those same disciples who doubted even that Jesus cared about them, never mind their doubt that he could help them, they became the heroic leaders of our Christian faith, living for him, dying for him, and for us. If they could do it, why not us? Paul says to the Corinthians, "No trial has come to you but what is human. God is faithful and will not let you be tried beyond your strength. But with the trial, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it." So today, let us ask St. Thomas Aquinas to help us in our fears. St. Thomas Aquinas, pray for us.